And there's food later, before too very long. Okay, for the rest of us, while that's going on, we're going to look at these verses from Ephesians chapter 5, just so we don't get behind before the summer break. Ephesians chapter 5. Do you remember, a few weeks ago, if you were here, we were thinking about Paul saying that before we are Christians, then we are like, he calls them the Gentiles, the heathen. That's kind of code word for saying people who are not following Jesus are darkened in their understanding. Do you remember that? The futility of their thinking, we were looking at that. This is the kind of thought that leads on from all of that, that actually there's a contrast from being in darkness to being in the light. And if we're followers of Christ, then we are in the light. He is the light of the world. He said we are to be lights to the world. So verse 8 of chapter 5, we pick it up like this. For you were once, interestingly, just note, he doesn't say you were once in darkness. He says you were once dark. You were darkness. That's what you were. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And then we had this at the beginning of the service. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we could go back one slide, we're going to just quickly have a look at some of those verses. That would be terrific in a moment. Father, we want to pray that you will help us to be enlightened. We want to be light and not dark. And we know it's only you that can do that. It's your Holy Spirit that is enabled to illuminate us. And so we look to you, not our own thinking, this morning, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So just to recap for those of you who haven't been here across the weeks, we're looking at a series in Ephesians called Who Do We Think We Are? It's about finding out our identity. We belong to Jesus. We are in Christ. And that informs everything that we do and that we are. And here we're told about being wise, wise people, it says. Live as, be careful how you live. Live not as unwise, but as wise. Just look at the person next to you for a moment. Do they look wise this morning? Do you think they look wise? Would you trust that person to give you good advice? I don't know. Wisdom. It would be great to be wise and not, as Paul says later, don't be foolish. No one really wants to be thought of as being a bit of a fool, a bit of an idiot. But again, what Paul's point here is that without Christ, that's exactly what we end up being if we're not careful. If we try to do things the way that we think things should be done, very often our thinking hasn't been changed enough for us to be sure. So he says three things very quickly about being wise people. And the first of them, he says, is that we should make the most of the time. This is what it means to live in the light. This is what it means to not be dark, all right? To be a wise person living in the light, the first thing is that we make the most of the time. Be very careful how you live, making the most, verse 16, of every opportunity, because the days are evil. There are at least two words that Paul could have used for time. The word that's translated in here is opportunity. Now, loads of words in many languages for different things. And certainly in the language Paul is writing here in Greek, there's two big words. One is chronos, from which we get chronology and all the words to do with watches and time and things like that, chronological. And the other is kairos. And that's the word that Paul uses here. Kairos was actually named after a Greek god. Kairos in Greek mythology is the youngest child of Zeus. And the word is used to mean a good time or a good season or an opportunity or the right moment, or even, probably even, the passing moment, the fleeting moment. Kairos was the god of that particular moment. It could be a critical or dangerous moment, but usually it's an advantageous moment, a favourable occasion. I've got a picture of Kairos, which has been slightly tidied up for family viewing. It's the third one along, actually. There we go. This is a sort of relief made from... there's a very famous Greek sculpture that we don't actually have, I don't think, but it's attested in various literature from the 2nd century BC of the god Kairos. And here he is. He's envisioned as a god. Very often he's on his tiptoes. He isn't there, but he's often on his tiptoes, always on the move. He's got wings on his feet. Can you see that? Don't need me to point, do you? There we go. There we go. Wings on the feet. And obviously these big wings up here as well. He's carrying in one hand over here, there's a razor. There it is, the razor that he's carrying, because he's pretty sharp. He's the scales on the other hand. But the really interesting thing about him is his hair. Now, I don't know if you can see, he's got hair that comes over the front here, and there's a bit down here. But up there, he's completely bald. Completely and utterly bald at the back of his head. And on the original sculpture of this, there was an epigram, and it said this, "Who are you? I am time, Kairos, who subdues all things. Why do you stand on tiptoe? I am ever running. Why do you have a pair of wings on your feet? I fly with the wind. And why do you hold a razor in your hand? As a sign to people that I am sharper than any sharp edge. And why does your hair hang over your face at the front there? For him who meets me to take me by the forelock." So if you meet this guy, you grab his hair. All right, you grab his hair. This is time. This is opportunity. This is the moment. Grab it. All right. And why in heaven's name is the back of your head bald? And this is what the epigram says. "Because none whom I have once raced by on my winged feet will now, though he wishes it, soar, take hold of me from behind." Okay. So once this moment, this opportunity, this particular time, this now, once it's gone, it won't be coming back. You can't grab it, it's gone. There's no hair to hang on to. When the moment is coming, you can grab onto it on his front forelock. But when he's gone, he's gone. Paul is saying that if we want to live in the light, if we want to be wise people, what we do is we grab the moment. We seize the day, carpe diem. That we're not people who live in the past, and we're not people who are always, always thinking about what is coming. We simply take the moment. If we go back to that passage, that's exactly what Paul is saying in verse 16. Verse 16 of chapter 5. "Do not be foolish," "making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." There's all sorts of stuff going down out there. It can be a very cruel and hard world. Our job is to live in this moment, to grab this moment for God, to make it count for him, to live in the light with all of the righteousness and so on that he mentions earlier in the verse, the fruit of the Spirit. In that moment, grab the moment. That's the first thing. The second thing that we are to do, wise people, people living in the light, make the most of the time. They discern the will of God. "Do not be foolish," says Paul in verse 17. "Understand what the Lord's will is." Understand what the Lord's will is. This is all to do with light. It's all to do with light. There's a little old story about a couple of monks. In fact, it was a monk having a chat with his boss, I suppose the abbot. And the monk's saying to the abbot, "Is there anything I can do to make myself enlightened? Spend all this time in this monkery, doing all these monkish kind of things. How is it going to benefit me? Can I do anything that is actually going to help me understand, help me live better, help me be a better person, understand what God wants for me?" And his abbot says, "No, you can't. You can do no more can you do that than to make the sun rise in the morning." And so this monk gets a bit tired of that. He says, "Well, what use is it then? Why do I get up at all hours of the day and night and do the prayers and all the rest of it and all those spiritual exercises that are prescribed?" And the abbot says this, to make sure that you're not asleep when the sun begins to rise. To make sure that you're not asleep when the sun begins to rise. Why is it that we read our Bibles and we pray? Why is it we do these things? Is it because by doing that, we'll be enlightened people, that we will be wise people, that will discern the will of God? The answer is actually no. The only person who can reveal God is not me or you, it's God himself. God reveals himself in light as the sun rises each morning. But the reason it's good to know our Bibles and understand our Bibles and spend time doing this, the reason it's good to spend time in prayer together and in worship is because that means we're ready. We're ready to hear from God. We're ready for God to reveal himself. Because if we're not, it's just like being asleep when the sun rises. What good is it doing us? No good whatsoever. We're asleep. We're missing it. And Paul says, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. You might as well be dead. If you're not going to see the sun rise. If we want to live in the light, we have to be aware and awake. And to do that, we have to prepare ourselves and make sure that we are ready to discern what God is wanting to say to us as he reveals it to us. By the way, that wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. It could be referring to Isaiah or a passage like that. Isaiah 65, I think it is. But it's probably an early song or hymn, especially as Paul goes on to talk about be a great thing to do, worshipping together. So it may well have been an early hymn. And lastly then, if wise people, if we're going to be wise, we're going to make the most of the time and the opportunity, we're going to discern the will of God, we are going to be full of the Holy Spirit. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, Ollie's problem earlier on, our friendly six-year-old Ollie, his problem was that he thought he had to turn a switch on and shine. He cannot do that any more than you or I can. All that does is expose all the shadowy corners, all the cobwebby places in my life and my heart where I get it wrong, even my best intentions. What we need is God's Holy Spirit in us, because God's Holy Spirit illuminates. That's the light. That's Jesus in us. And allowing people to see Jesus in us, that's what wise people do. That's what it means to live in the light. Paul has mentioned the word saints. He uses it in other letters too. We've said before that saints mean you and me. Doesn't mean particularly special Christians. All right? You are a saint. You looked at the people next to you just a moment ago and thought whether they were wise or not. Look at them again and think, they are a saint. That is a saint. That's a real living human saint. It is. It is, according to Paul, Christians are saints. And we are the ones through whom the light will shine to this world if we allow God to live in us by the Holy Spirit. There was a 9-year-old boy who he went with his parents touring round Europe, grand tour of Europe. And one of the things they wanted to do was to go into the great cathedrals, all with their stories of the past. And as this boy went into cathedral after cathedral, he saw the massive stained glass windows depicted on the windows. You'd have stories from the Bible, particular characters, those great saints that we talk about from the past, St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and so on. Very often, very ornately decorated, and other characters too, great saints of the Bible. He was impressed as he stood there. He used to stand and watch those beautiful stained glass windows as the light came through them. And when he got back home, he was at school and he was talking about it. One of his teachers said, what was it that he liked most about his holiday? And he talked about the great churches. And the teacher said, what did you like most about them? And he said, the windows, those great stained glass windows of the saints. And she said to him, do you know what a saint is? And he said, yeah. And his mind went back to standing in front of those great windows and looking at those pictures on it. And he said this, a saint is someone that God shines his light through. A saint is someone that God shines his light through. When we are full of the Holy Spirit, then we're saints. We are people that God shines his light through. So Paul says, wake up! I did that just to make sure that we are. And realize that if we're going to be people who live in the light, because we don't like the dark, then we will be wise. We will learn how to take advantage of every moment, the now, for God and live it to its full for him, being present in that moment. Secondly, we will know what the will of God is because we'll be in a position for him to reveal it to us. We'll be up and about. We'll have made ourselves ready. And thirdly, we'll be full of God's Holy Spirit so that he can shine his light through us, his saints. Let's pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, wow. We don't have to do anything. Forgive us that often we think it is about what we do and don't do. Thank you that your word today tells us that if we're to be people who walk in the light, if we're to be wise people, then it is about what you do. It's your revelation. It's your gift of this moment, right now, this very, very second, for us to know you as completely and fully as you have made yourself known, to discern what your will is for our life, to know your purposes, to know your plans, to be part of it, and to be full of your Holy Spirit, because we just don't have the strength. We do not have the energy. We do not have the goodness in and of ourselves. Only what you impart through your Spirit, the life of Jesus in us shining through. Renew our thinking, renew our minds and our understandings, we pray this morning. Cleanse and forgive us for doing it our way for too long, and help us to do it your way, to follow Jesus from darkness into light. We pray it in his name. Amen.